use that word, to be exposed to the risks and those sorts of things. And more specifically, we've been thinking about grocery delivery in ways that we haven't been doing. In other words, beyond our Meals on Wheels, beyond the shopping service that we have for seniors generally, which is relatively small, as people are home, should we be ramping up that service? And if so, what would that look like? I was just on the phone with a food shelf that is co-located with us. And one of the things they mentioned specifically is they are amazingly holding up with having enough food for twice the demand for food, but they are starting to have people not be able to come and get the food at their food shelf. And so there's the delivery piece, but then when it comes to the shopping, a piece that still has us kind of perplexed is how to pay for somebody else's groceries. And I don't know if other people have figured out a great way to do that.
What are people doing?
We can't figure out a way to do it. Sandy in Cleveland, we haven't been able to figure out a way unless the client's able to prepay it.
Hi, this is SJ with Hyas in New York, and we've been working with volunteers to figure this out. What we've gotten to the point of doing is we'll either have a Visa gift card, which you can purchase on Amazon. Volunteers will buy one of those and then get them, we'll have them delivered to the clients, and we keep the client address confidential through using Amazon registries. Or a lot of the local grocery stores are starting to deliver. So we can either do a system where volunteers will pay in an account at a local grocery store and then clients will go and pick it up, or then I'll call and talk to the local grocery store and talk about having it delivered with that account that the volunteer made. That way the volunteer doesn't know the client's personal information, they don't have to do the background check, that kind of thing, but we still get it to the client.
Okay.
Hi, this is Emily Clamage. I'm at GFCS of Greater Philly. So we got a donation of, so basically we're doing grocery delivery right now through our kitchen manager is putting together grocery packages. Because we have a kitchen manager, she was able to order groceries wholesale. Then we're having the volunteers. All of them are our vetted volunteers right now, but we're having them sign confidentiality waivers, and we're having them do drop off at clients' homes using social distancing. That's happening on Wednesday. We're actually putting that into action, but I don't know if JFCS of South Jersey is on this call. If they are, they can step in, but I know what they're doing is they have donated grocery gift cards that are digital donations, and they are having those emailed to volunteers along with a list of items that clients need, and then the volunteers are going out and shopping themselves and delivering the groceries. When we thought about doing that, instead of giving everyone an individual list, we were going to give our shoppers like a general list, and they just, you know, this is what would be in a $50 balanced grocery bag, and just have people shop off a general list and deliver. But with our kitchen manager, we just figured pickup and delivery would be easier. And one thing that I'll note is I put a call out to volunteers, and a lot of them said they would be willing to pick up from a safe location like GFCS and deliver, but more people were hesitant to go to the grocery store and then deliver as well. So that's one thing that I noticed.
Is there someone from South Jersey on the call? Okay. So are other people, you know, doing this and using volunteers in the same way, doing something different with the food shopping?
This is Emily in Detroit.
So we're kind of doing some similarities to what others have talked about. So we're only utilizing our vetted volunteers right now to do deliveries for our Kosher Meals on Wheels program. We've pulled back from them delivering to just clients of our agency, and staff are doing some of that. And then also, staff's doing some of that delivery. And gift cards, or staff is doing it through the Shipt or some of those other ones for them as well. So it's kind of like a combination. But the majority of our volunteers are just going to Kosher Meals on Wheels right now. And we're losing some people in that as things, you know, clamp down more because they're not as comfortable delivering. But we still have a core group of people who are doing that. And I haven't been using non-vetted volunteers yet. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting a lot of phone calls from people wanting to, but I'm really hesitant to go there and trying to utilize who I have that are vetted already and even staff before having to do that. I don't know if you guys have found that to be complicated, those of you that are using, you know, that have to now vet people, like what you're doing in that, how quickly you're doing it, how comfortable you feel. I'm kind of struggling with that right now.
We have made the decision to not use anybody but vetted, even though you could do a lot of it virtually and send them for their background checks. We are not, and we are doing deliveries of food pantry items coupled with those people who really need the food. We are ordering a hot meal from the grocery store, and a staff member is picking that up and bringing them all back to the center. And then we had California Pizza Kitchen for this week. They're donating, well, and going forward, giving a pizza. So everybody gets a bag of groceries, a pizza that they can bake later, and the hot meal from Pizza Table.
Really? California Pizza Kitchen is doing it nationwide, do you think?
Well, just the one in Naples is. I don't know about any other ones.
Probably.
They're just starting it this Wednesday with us. They hadn't previously. So we were excited about that.
This is Sandy from Cleveland. I need a little clarification. For people that are using gift cards, I don't understand how you're using them. Are you having community members donate them and then volunteers are using them to shop for someone else?
That was our plan. We actually had supermarkets donate cards to us, and we did a big fundraising drive for cards, for money for groceries as well. So we were gonna purchase we were gonna purchase the cards ourselves, but then once we figured out to use our kitchen, we're just using our own funds. But I know that if you have a virtual card, you can just email them right out to volunteers and they can take their email and go to the store, or you can have people sponsor. Some people sponsor the cards and some people actually shop, or sponsor and shop, whatever you wanted to do.
So I just want to say, I'm living in New Jersey, and I know some of these states are, shelter in place and, you know, only essential services are open. And so many volunteers don't want to go to grocery stores. I don't know if that's been a problem for people to, you know, find the volunteers to go into the stores because, you know, they feel like they're putting their lives at risk and they don't want to, they may be asymptomatic and carrying it to the people that they're delivering the food to. So I don't know if that's been a problem or if people are dealing with that.
So Lee in Minneapolis, I was just going to say related to that, Lisa, I mean, our first choice, I think, is what others are articulating. We have drivers who typically provide senior rides, and those rides are essentially non-existent. We went from 90 a week to 20 a week to 10 because they're only for medically necessary procedures that are still happening. We have those folks on the payroll. We want to keep them on the payroll, but they could switch to doing some grocery delivery instead of people transportation. But then there's the question about them going into the store, doing any of the shopping. So our preference would be, you know, for curbside pickup. But at least here, it seems like the delays or the wait time, the lead time at grocery stores for curbside pickup is pretty far out. So we're just trying to work through some of the logistics. We have people who have volunteered to do it, but we're trying to focus on staff first.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Ashley in New York. We are really struggling with this in New York City because volunteers feel really uncomfortable pretty much going anywhere outside of their homes unless absolutely necessary. So one thing that we've been trying to do, but I think it's an interesting conversation topic, is we tried Instacart, but I know now workers are striking and we want to be supportive of their rights as well. And then Whole Foods delivers, but also Whole Foods workers are striking. And so currently what we're doing is Peapod. I don't know how big it is, but Peapod seems to be better to workers, like P like the food and then pod. And the other thing that you can do, like I was saying earlier, is have the local grocery stores deliver. But yeah, we are really struggling with volunteers actually going out and purchasing groceries.
I heard the strike for Instacart was avoided.
Oh, good. So that must have meant that they kind of got more, I guess they were asking for more pay and better sick leave and that kind of thing.
More pay, better sick leave, automatic minimum tips, and I think safety equipment for them while they're good. In the store.
Awesome. That's great news. Thank you.
For those of you that are delivering, even if it's a case, you know, even if it's a staff member, now one of you said that you're delivering with social distancing, but we have a lot of clients that couldn't possibly open up their front door and lean over and pick up a bag of groceries. Any of you running into that?
Yeah, we are. We're running into that too. So kind of what we're doing, we just had a meeting. So there's obviously a lot of clients who can do that, right? So we're just leaving them there, and then the volunteer is calling while they're in the driveway saying they're there. So they see them physically take them into the home and not leaving it there. I think they're going to be asking clients who can do this, putting out like a little... if they can put out like a chair or something right outside the door so it's not down all the way on the ground, if they can do that.
That's smart.
And then the last scenario is for a volunteer with gloves and keeping 6 feet away, going in and putting in the home and coming right back out. It's not ideal, but that's what we have to do for those ones. So that's how we're handling it.
And we're doing
all your volunteers wearing gloves?
Yes.
Everyone's wearing gloves.
Yes.
Right. And what about, you know, spraying the packages that they pick up, you know, like that's what people are saying to do. Like if you get a box of cereal that you're supposed to wipe it down before you put it into your cart, besides wiping the cart and et cetera. I mean, are people doing that and saying that their volunteers or staff should be doing that as well?
Is that
a little over the top?
I haven't heard that. I would think that that would be an individual client's choice if they feel uncomfortable with where it's been potentially, but I haven't heard that being an issue.
So Susan Spielman, I don't know you, but you're smiling. So tell me why. Is that, you have to unmute yourself.
I've got to unmute. No, I'm actually smiling for completely unrelated purposes. But the conversation is fantastic. If you could see my cats in the background, you would understand why I'm smiling.
We all have to smile about something.
Yeah.
Makes us happy during this time. Okay, so do we feel like we've covered food delivery enough? Do you, anyone else want to talk about this specific topic? Any other ideas?
We don't need the money for we give the groceries to the people who don't, but if you're using food cards and you're getting them donated and purchasing, do those people, if they have the money, do they give you the money back? To the woman from Philly.
I know someone said that they were from, South Jersey on here, so I don't want to speak for them. Because we are now having our kitchen manager order all the food, there is no money back. But I know South Jersey was having their volunteers send receipts, and then you can send back the balance if there's any leftover money.
So Vanessa Smith, are you on this call? Can you speak to that?
Yes. So we have been looking into that. We haven't actually implemented that, but we've had a question with delivery and reimbursing them and what that looks like. We would hope to do that so that anyone that can get food through the grocery shopping system, we've been using Instacart because they've been quicker than some other local stores, ShopRite in particular. But we'll see. Once that's implemented, we can let you know how it works out.
Thank you.
An idea for the delivery piece that has just come to my attention. Here in Los Angeles, we have Access. Is anybody familiar with Access? That makes,
yeah.
It's a paratransit for seniors with a fee and so on, but they apparently were very concerned about having to lay off drivers because there aren't enough people who are going out of their house. And they offered to partner with us and do our deliveries as a way of continuing to, I mean, as a way to hold on to their drivers and not lose them during the quarantine period.
So are they delivering groceries?
Well, we don't have it. I mean, I just learned of it this morning and I haven't yet had a direct conversation with them about how that would play out, but apparently it is something they're open to doing.
Okay. Maybe other kinds of transportation programs would be open to doing that too. So trying to reach out and collaborate with community agencies. So Chelsea from Allentown wrote something interesting. What about delivering to an apartment where the recipient has tested positive? Has anyone thought of that, or has that come up?
This is Susie Berman from JFS Metro West in New Jersey. This actually came up for me in two buildings already. It was ethically, I felt very concerned about the client getting the food, but also about the volunteer. I notified the volunteer. I gave her the choice if she wanted to deliver the food, and she did. So the way that I set it up was she brought the food to the apartment building. She stayed outside. She put the grocery bag on the floor, on the grounds. And I had the client meet them outside, but make sure they were 6 feet apart. So there was no contact and they were not close to each other. But it's already come up in two buildings.
Okay, so you gave the choice to your volunteer.
Yeah, I felt like it was only ethical to tell right. to notify the volunteer. And I'm actually asking, I don't want any volunteers going into any homes. We have volunteers doing grocery delivery, but we also arrange for Shabbat meals for this coming Friday. And I'm not allowing any volunteers to go into the buildings.
Okay. So how are they getting their food?
I've either arranged for the client to come outside or I've actually called the security guard in the building and asked if the security guard will come out and take the food and deliver it to the client.
Okay. Lori, where are you? Lori Cinnamon.
Yes, I'm here.
You're there? Where are you from? Yeah. What agency?
I'm from Jewish Family Services, Silicon Valley.
Okay, so yeah. Silicon Valley. She is stuck on paying for other people's groceries.
Yeah, I have the volunteers. I have that piece. Our JCC, a lot of our volunteers were older, but our JCC is closed. We share a campus, and many of the staff members from the JCC are willing to go and deliver. I've vetted new volunteers, and I'm ready to go. So I have two issues that are causing me to be stuck. One is, right now, we just have this elaborate reimbursement thing going with volunteers to go grocery shopping. Because we're not wanting, for the client to pay the delivery person, the volunteer directly. And then the other issue I have is that as the JCC is reaching out to their database of senior programming needs, is are we delivering to people that were not our clients? Starting to do this for other people that we hadn't been serving? Are they clients? Are they just meal delivery people? So those are the two areas. It hasn't been a problem getting the volunteers. It's been more, I'm stuck on the how elaborate this payment thing is. Has anybody tried Venmo? Has, Is there a better way to do this?
Venmo's great if anyone has it. I mean, a lot of the clients probably don't have Venmo.
Yeah, they probably don't. Yeah.
And they don't have smartphones either.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering if anybody's done this where it's working. I mean, I'm starting to like call up grocers and find out if they would take the credit card over the phone in advance. And then, you know, so that to me has been a stumbling block because I think that staff is burned out. I mean, staff cannot continue to do this and do this through reimbursement. And now I'm going to be asking volunteers to do this through reimbursement. And you know, some of them are going to be willing to do it and others aren't.
So when I worked at Jewish Family Services in Greenwich, we had a supermarketing for seniors program, and some of the grocery stores would take the client's credit card number, right? So you would get the credit card number, put it on a sheet of paper, tell your, they would put it in and they would take that payment, but you'd have to get a credit card number, you know, from your clients. If they would give it to you, then you'd have to rip it up and, you know, they have to trust you. But if they want their food and that's the way to get it, that could potentially work, you know.
Has anybody else run into this or doing a lot of grocery deliveries that's not part of a meal program? I mean, anything with a meal program, that's not a problem. It's really the money.
Shai saying yes. And then we're going to move to a different topic after Shai speaks.
So we just take all the JCC employees that aren't working, so they are younger, and they already we already pay them till the most of them the end of April, so and they're not working, so and they are younger generation, so because most of my volunteers are you know older, so it was hard. They need to get the meals because they cannot leave the house. So we just collaborate all the other agencies. So now we have many, many young people that can do it. So they just take the card with like a closed bag, like a Ziploc bag. If they don't feel comfortable touching the bag, they can bring it. I know I have a person that just did it. So we just get many young, you know, workers that can do it instead of older people. So it's easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the same thing, so that's good. But how about paying for somebody else's groceries? What are you doing?
They go to the house, they take the card.
Oh, they take the card.
They take the card, yes. But right. They don't have to touch the card. Right. So they just hang the card. They can take a Ziploc if they don't want to. Right. They can just put the card in a Ziploc bag if they don't feel comfortable touching the card, and then they give the card to the store. I just had a client that just did it on Friday.
Right.
And they're not. Oh, okay. So they're taking the. Okay. And these are vetted volunteers. I'm not worried about these people.
Right. They're, you know, doing they're it. Taking the card and then going to the store and then bringing the card back with the groceries.
That's a good idea.
Yes,
it's very.
So,
what about if people? Have you done cash at all, Shay? Because some people don't have credit cards.
Yeah, they'll do cash too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, thanks. And who was? Where were you from? The lady that just spoke.
Youngstown, Ohio.
In Ohio.
Put your email in the chat box for Lori to call you. So the last thing is stuck on sanitizing. I'm not sure that people are sanitizing food deliveries or not, but in some areas they suggest that you do that because things stay on, you know, cardboard and, you know, for a long time, 24 hours or something. But, you know, it's hard to do everything. Did anyone want to talk about sanitizing before we move on?
I think the only, it's Beth in Baltimore. I guess on that respect, that's education of the clients who are receiving the food. That maybe we haven't done this yet, but to put something in writing and when they get their food, it says, these are the precautions we suggest that you take when you receive food. And so you can't, the person that's giving it, they're taking their own risks, you know, the shopping and whatever. Person that's receiving it, give them the information. This is what, you know, good practice is for receiving food for anybody from any food store or carry out.
Right. So that's a really good idea though, putting something with your logo and saying what people could practice in their own homes. Very smart idea. So
we just decided to do that to send to send a written update to everybody, because we know that our clients tend to do better with something in writing, with what the current status is in terms of our services and how best to reach us, and then also some suggestions for staying safe, and also the upcoming schedule for meal deliveries, especially with Passover meal deliveries. So just a written handout that's going with the meal deliveries the next couple of weeks.
That's terrific. If you have that written down anywhere, if you send it to me, I can upload it to the COVID resources in the volunteer file, and everyone can have it and can tailor it to their own needs. Mm-hmm. People are writing in, which is interesting. Rachel, I didn't know this, from Indianapolis. The virus can live in the freezer for up to 2 years, so you definitely want to sanitize everything. Marla's saying that there are videos about how to sanitize. If people have computers, they can click on the link. If not, we have to write it down. Tracy's saying this Friday, Tracy Raleigh, let us have that information when you add it to their bags this Friday. And then Marla's saying to share the information, of course. So, okay. And what about people? Are they doing friendly visiting these days? Is anyone seeing anyone going into homes, friendly visiting? I guess that's a no.
Only staff.
No, it's a yes.
We are not seeing, hi, this is Tracy from JFS in Raleigh. We're not seeing people face-to-face anymore. We are making phone calls. I'm asking all of my friendly visitors to continue calling, and then they submit the same online contact form, and we've just tailored that form for shorter phone calls because it's hard to have a conversation over the phone for an hour. We also have the volunteers ask the clients that they reach out to if they have the ability to have some kind of Skype or Zoom or FaceTime conversation with them. And if they say, yeah, we have that ability because I do have a smartphone, but I have no idea how to do it, the volunteer can kind of walk them through, or we have other volunteers who are able to walk them through. So it's kind of a neat collaboration. A lot of people are saying, hey, I'm really good at tech, I can walk people through this. And then we just have, because a lot of my friendly visitors are older and they're like, yeah, we don't even want to mess with that. So it's a really cool cross-pollination among my volunteers. That's what we're doing.
Right.
So this is from Jewish Family and Children's Service of Greater Boston. We run a friendly visitor program, and we are also having our friendly visitors continue their weekly phone calls. In fact, we're even asking them to up it a little bit more. So we've just transferred them all to telephone. We're taking on a few new people, but not doing too actively on that. What we're really excited about, Ava Harder, who's also on this call, who's our manager of volunteer services, and I are spearheading a card writing campaign where we're asking sort of basically the greater Boston community, but certainly all the volunteers of our Jewish Family and Children's Service, to write cards for older adults. They'll be sending their cards or giving them, or however they're distributing them, to Ava and I, where we'll give them a couple days quarantine period, and then reading the cards to make sure that they say appropriate things, and matching them with the friendly visitor volunteer. And I hope to be sending them at least 2 cards a month, but Ava tells me that we're getting a huge abundance of cards. So we'll all
that sounds call good. Call
services. Yeah, a few other places as well. People are really, really excited about it.
So someone was saying that they were going to put cards in their Passover bags as well. So
we did the same. We are doing like a grandfriend pen pal cards with the young families and mm-hmm. seniors. Meanwhile, we have 50 participants, so it's nice.
So right. with the pen pal, Shay, with the pen pal program, how are you arranging those matches? And it sounds like if you've got 50 people, you did that pretty quickly.
It happened very fast. So it was easier because we wanted to do like a marketing. So we took a nursing home and assisted living. And then we just make match. I know for someone with Alzheimer's, he cannot read mm-hmm. a lot. Someone can read, but maybe my daughter, she's 3 years old, so she can draw. Mm-hmm. So it's easier. And if I have like a bar mitzvah girl, she can write a long letter for an active person, so it's going to be easier match, you know.
Yeah.
So I just know a little bit background. I have 15 people from the wider community, and I want to say 40. We have like almost 40 people, you know, in the assisted living in a nursing home, but 15 people already in the outside community, and we didn't even ask them if they want to participate. They're just going to get, it's going to be a nice surprise for Passover. This is my Israeli chutzpah, you said, like, I'm not going to ask. They, you know, it's, they're like too depressed. I have their address.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I asked, so, I asked the family if they want to join. Immediately I got, you know, 30 families, mm-hmm. and then just mail them.
Right.
Is it so two-way? If you don't want to mail them back, it's okay. But yeah. I don't want to wait for the seniors because they have their own, like, you know, especially they get depressed now, they get really sad.
Right.
And they don't want to be active. They want to answer the phone. So we just mail them without permission. And we make the letters from the Federation. They're not going to mail back, like, from the person because they don't know the families.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's a wrong address or they have issues, they're going to see the Federation. So if they have problem, they can find me.
Right.
And then it's easier. They're going to open the envelope. If they don't know that, you know, who's going to mail them, they're not going to open. But so just something that's, meanwhile, it's worked like wonderful and they already have the connections.
So someone was talking about, you know, how do you make sure that the cards are safe? I think cards are just 24 hours and someone said they're holding on to them. I think Susan said you're holding on to the cards before you mail them out. So that's a good thing. And Dana said people can take a photo of the cards or a picture and email to the volunteer coordinator who can disperse. Okay, that can also be done. What about transportation? Are people, anyone on this call want to talk about transportation and what they're doing with their volunteers or are using?
We are using staff.
Most people are using staff.
We have a shuttle and so we can maintain social distancing on the shuttle and it's only for, you know, doctor's appointments and other, you know, absolutely required events.
Right. It sounds like that's what most people are doing, essential services. Okay. So let's talk for a little bit about Passover, just so we can get some information for these funders. Are people doing Passover deliveries?
Already
done. Have they stopped? Shall I, let's let someone else talk if someone hasn't talked yet. Anyone else are doing them or not doing them?
Our Passover delivery St. Paul. Hi, everyone. Yes, we just wrapped up our Passover bag deliveries and things shut down completely this week in Minnesota. So although for my agency, we've been shut for a couple weeks. So this was a pretty heroic effort. We didn't get supplies to all the clients we had hoped for, but feel pretty good about those that we were able to.
Terrific. Kim, you were going to say something about how you use volunteers in this or not?
Yes, I'm from JFS in Boca Raton, Florida. We are doing it this Sunday on April 5th. We're having a big Passover meal delivery to over 400 homes in Boca Del Rey. We have over 90 volunteers coming to pick up. They're going to deliver to five addresses each about. And that's something we planned a while ago and we're still following through and we're getting a lot of people willing to, you know, they're going to pick up the food curbside and they're going to leave it at the door. And they're going to call the client and tell them that it's there. And so we have that going on this Sunday.
And you have all the food already in place? You didn't have to purchase it or?
We have all the food in place at the food pantry and it's being separated out as we speak by other volunteers and staff members. We had a Seder planned, a model Seder for our current clients. So we had to cancel that. So what we did was we purchased additional meals and offered to those Seder guests that we would deliver a meal to them since we canceled that. So in addition to our food pantry clients who were already getting groceries and a Passover meal, we added those guests as well, and we did have to purchase. We had to purchase that.
And who purchased all of that, staff or volunteers?
Staff. Mm-hmm. Staff.
So this is Amy in Minneapolis, and we also had a delivery scheduled for April 5th for all of our referrals, and we decided to do it early because we knew we were going to close, the community would be locked down. Mm-hmm. We've done it mostly with staff and a few volunteers to get it all done. We're still receiving a couple of referrals trickling in, and we're delivering them ourselves, another staff member and I, and just doing it using social distancing. Some buildings are not allowing you in, so they're meeting you at the door. We just leave the bag there with the person's name on it. And we did purchase all of the food ourselves as an agency.
Are you going to put in any sort of info about how, you know, what to do with the food once they get it, if they're going to be wiping it down or anything like that?
Well, our bags are already out. So we're not. And in the past, we have had a card that goes in. One of the local preschools has made cards for us that have been inserted, but the school is closed down so fast, and get the cards this year for those bags.
Lisa, can I jump in for a second? This is Faye in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
We've been doing a lot of like research around this whole food delivery thing and how much of a risk the wiping and all of that kind of stuff. The data is really, really mixed, and it seems to point to the fact that it is not a huge risk. And so is there anyone in the network that either works for the CDC, and it's here in Atlanta, so that's usually what I'm using as the WHO, but it would be really nice if we could find some actual guidance on this, because I think that it's probably, my guess is, just from the stuff that I've read, that it's probably less of a risk than we might be thinking. And if we deploy a lot of resources and energy towards trying to address it, we may be using energy using elsewhere. So actually, now as I'm talking out loud, I think that Terry, my CEO, has a pretty decent contact in the CDC, but I don't know if they're in the food area. But let me start with her and see if I can get us some information on this, because it keeps coming up over and over again. It would be great if we had some, I don't know if it'll be solid information, but at least.
I have something that actually someone gave me that I took a picture of because I thought it was so important, and it's food safety and what are the risks of food from takeout and drive-through? What are the risks of food delivered to home? What happens to your body if you ingest coronavirus through food? And can you get coronavirus from touching food or packaging exposed to coronavirus? I could send this out to everyone on this call, which is kind of interesting, but it's not as detailed as what you're saying right now.
That would be great to have. And I'm also going to see if I can find anything else. We have a senior leadership call this afternoon at 5, so I'll just bring it up and see if we can find someone to help advise us.
Right. Okay. So I can do that, and I can look into that too. So that was a good idea, Faye. So let's see what other people have written here. Some people have written some really long things. Let's see. Audrey, did you want to talk about it? What you just wrote? Where are you? I guess I can read it.
Sure.
They have a large. Oh, are you sure? They have a large annual volunteer program each Passover, where members of the local synagogues purchase items for chesed boxes for 40 households. Usually, those synagogue members also deliver. They sign confidentiality waivers. This year, synagogues are still doing chesed boxes, but deliveries will be done by staff and vetted JFS volunteers who are still doing regular kosher meal deliveries. Chesed boxes will be delivered this week and next week to our usual kosher meal and pantry clients. And Rachel from Indianapolis says, in regards to sharing a flyer with instructions for sanitizing groceries, they've also struggled with putting something together because, this is important, most of our pantry clients don't have the cleaning supplies. They need to follow the protocol. We aren't able to get enough of that stuff to distribute. Any thoughts on that? If anyone has something written up, it would be great if you're willing to share. So what do people think about that? Are people, do people have enough of the cleaning supplies that they need, or are they willing to give it to their clients? That's a tough one. I think you stumped us, Rachel. Okay, so Sandra's saying, you know, we have to remind everyone in our info to wash their hands after they've unpacked the groceries. And no, they don't have supplies either. Right. It just, it's such a different world, right? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, who was even thinking about anything like this? It's, you know, you're scared to go outside. You know, the minute you come into your house, you got to wash down your knobs and anything you touch, your car doors. It's just such a, a different world. So food pantries, do we want to talk about that?
I just wanted to say, in terms of just the cleaning supplies, we've been delivering bars, just decided to be very simple and just have been delivering bar soap with each of our meal and pantry deliveries.
Great idea. Like a Dove bar soap or just anything?
Or like a Dial antibacterial soap if we can, but any soap is soap. Better than nothing.
It's a great idea. Okay, Dana from Minneapolis, we seem to have the problem with more people reaching out to help than we can use. Are other people, they're all nodding their head. Ava's got a big head nod going on. So what are people doing with those? Ava, what are you doing with those volunteers then?
So as Sue Spielman mentioned, in Greater Boston, we've started the card making. So we're actually sending out a new email this afternoon, inviting them to do one of four things: donate to our families with young children through an Amazon wish list, making videos of accessible activities, crafts, movement, meditation, yoga for individuals with disabilities, making cards for our older adult clients, and helping distribute food on Sunday with our food pantry, which is both our Passover distribution and our monthly distribution.
And how are those videos doing? What are people actually making videos and sending them in?
Yes.
And you are uploading them
to our channel.
What?
You're posting them on our JFCS Boston YouTube channel.
Okay.
And making them available to our clients. Anybody, but directly focusing our clients to them.
Oh, that's terrific. Great. So that is a good idea. I mean, you have a YouTube channel, but you could put it onto your Facebook page, or you could put it onto your Instagram or whatever, right? Absolutely. Or you could send it out to your email distribution list.
We're doing all of that. It, you know, because it ends up becoming a bigger document if you mail it, it's easier to send just a link than to send the video.
Think people are writing that stuff down. Okay, Tony, you also had a big nod. What's going on, Tony Jacobson? From, you have to unmute yourself.
In terms of using volunteers?
Right, you said you were getting a lot of volunteers. So what are you doing?
Not a lot. We have a group of about 45 seniors that we have calls to every, you know, once or twice a week. But then we have a lot of other volunteers that want to do something, but we don't have a lot to do with them because we're not asking any volunteers to leave their home at this time.
Where are you? Where's your agency?
Nashville, Tennessee. We're on a stay-at-home order, and we don't want to put our volunteers at risk. So that might change if that gets lifted. But yeah, I like the pen pal, the grandparent pen pal program. That might be something we could do. Yeah, we're struggling with trying to serve the volunteers as well. Because, you know, when we serve clients, we're also serving volunteers. You know, you have to make both sides happy. So we would like more ideas about that as well.
Okay.
So, something to say, just to jump in, because I know I threw that out about having a lot of people reaching out. And I think so many people are just wanting to feel like they're helping. And so while it's great to think about JFCS and what we can offer.
Oops. That was me.
I'm done.
That was me. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I muted you. I meant to mute Chelsea.
That is okay. So while it's great for us to continue thinking about how to assess our needs and utilize volunteers in a different way during this time, I am going to share in the chat, in the group chat, if you're familiar with the organization Points of Light, they put out a really wonderful list of virtual volunteer opportunities. And this is something that I think is so great. I've shared with a couple of people already, you know, a couple of volunteers. And it's just, it's organized by, you know, if people are into technology or if they want to do some mentoring virtually. And so I think even after COVID is hopefully over, this can be a great resource for people to keep in mind. So feel free to check it out.
That's terrific. Thanks. Send that to me so I can put it in the file. Heather said something, which is probably something to think about. She's worrying about making connections between volunteers and seniors, and then the drop-off of participation after the people get back to their normal lives and get back to work. If we make any offerings to older adults, they want to be very clear if it will be a time-limited connection versus an ongoing one. So you determine that up front, is what you're saying, Heather. Yes. Okay.
We're using, just to jump in with anybody who's contacting me that is new to us, I'm letting them know that, you know, I'll take their name and phone number down, you know, because there could be a possibility with my Kosher Meals on Wheels volunteers that we're going to have a huge drop off and might need some people that I could vet, which I don't, that's my last, you know, my last choice doing that. But then I'm directing them to other, I'm emailing them. I know of some places in the community that could benefit from some help too, and just giving them those opportunities. The United Way also, the United Way around here has also put out virtual volunteer opportunities, as well as other organizations that are looking for hands-on one. So I'm, you know, they're walking away with at least something to do, because I do realize that people want to help. And in terms of our reassurance phone calls, we're only using our current friendly visiting volunteers, because if there's clients afterwards that still want to make a connection with somebody, they can continue seeing them. So I'm just trying to use the people that we have in house already.
Yeah, that's smart. So does anyone else want to talk? I see that Tali, our co-chair of the volunteer group, is on the call. I don't know if you had anything you wanted to say. I introduced you in the beginning. I wasn't even sure you were going to be able to make it. I'm not even sure you're still on. There you are.
Yeah. So really, I think echoing what everyone else said, we're struggling to figure out how do we provide groceries for older adults. I think that's the biggest thing that we're hearing as well. And so I appreciate the feedback about Instacart and all of the things that you're doing. We also just kicked off we're calling Connections program, and that's having our volunteers make calls and check-ins from home for our older adults as well. We are still operating our food pantry, but we've gone to a drive-up model so that volunteers, we're keeping it to two volunteers per shift, two volunteer, we're trying to get the same volunteers on the same shifts. And they're just really like, they have a box of food with a bag of perishables and then putting it directly into the person's car. We're also gonna be doing Passover deliveries on Tuesday. It will be a similar model where the people who are planning to come and shop for Passover will still do that in the drive-up model, and then we'll be making deliveries. But I can't remember who was just talking, but we've also shared with new volunteers who are interested, just saying that we're, you know, figuring out what our needs are. And, those aren't mine. Sorry. No, you can leave them here. Sorry. Someone come in. You can just leave them there.
Are you in the office?
Yes. I had a webinar that I had to be in the office for this morning.
Okay.
In a day.
I wonder how many people are still in their offices. So raise your hand. I see Rachel. But I can't see everybody on the call, but not that many. A few people. Right. Okay. I'm sorry, Tali. You were talking.
Yeah. I mean, I have really nothing new to share of what everyone else said, but
we're all learning.
Everyone, you're all doing such great work. And I think it's okay. I had a few people just say to me, it's okay to tell people that we don't have things for them right now, but we'll keep their information and follow up with them when we do. And that felt good because I think we all feel probably a pressure to engage the community during, you know, in our, that's what our role is. And it's hard to sometimes say no to people. So I've had to take that advice and just let people know that we'll be in touch with them when we can figure out how to utilize their help.
Right.
One thing I wanted to add was one thing that we're asking people to do is like stuff they can do around the house and they can donate later. So our closet, which is our clothing donation program, is telling people like, hey, while you're stuck at home, you know, go through your closet. We know everyone is organizing and cleaning right now. And then when we get on the other side, take your bags and donate them to our closet. So people do feel like there's kind of that connection and we are creating engagement with the organization, even though, you know, they really can't do anything right now. It's just like when we giving people activities that when we get to the other side, you know, they can just drop off the clothes or whatever is in their house.
That's a great idea. So I don't know if Sierra or Amanda or KT, Kelly, Melanie, we haven't heard from any of you. Christina, we haven't heard from anyone in Canada. Jenny, you want to talk? Please do share. We all learn from each other and it's good to hear from everyone. Melanie, are you about to say something? Okay. So does anyone else have anything they want to talk about? Feel like they got Dana wants to say something. There you go.
I had a thought just because we are coming up to National Volunteer Month.
Oh.
And so I think, you know, in this discussion, a lot of us are I can hear that we're appreciative of our client or of our volunteers. So just curious if people had any different thoughts on how to appreciate volunteers and whether it's on Facebook or an email or sending cards. I don't know if we're limiting that right now, but yeah.
Sandra is trying to talk. You have to unmute yourself. Anyone else have anything to say while she's trying to do that? Tracy, are you trying to talk? Okay.
I have a question. Oh.
Okay. Well, before you answer, hold on to that question. Audrey was going to answer this one, I think, right? Audrey, were you going to answer what Dana asked?
I don't know.
Okay, so Kim, ask your question.
Does anyone have a standard list of precautions that they send out to the volunteers sort of to make sure that they're abiding by the guidelines? Like, you know, if you've traveled, you know, in the last 2 weeks, you know, we don't want you volunteering, you know, the certain things if you're...
Four questions.
Yeah. Is there something that anyone has standardized precautions that I could send out to my volunteers to make sure that they're all taking their own necessary precautions before they participate?
So from another call that I was on, I can tell you that there are a list of questions. Some there are more complex than others, but they're in our resource library under COVID-19. If you don't know how to get into it, I can send you the information.
Okay.
But I do think it's really important. Everyone should be doing that because those are the questions that you ask and you don't want to be liable in any which way but loose at your agency. So you want to make sure you ask those questions. Are people asking those questions? Nobody? Raise, you know, or no? Shake your head. No. Well, it might be a good idea to start. If you haven't, I just think it's a really good idea. And, you know, you don't always think about everything because it's all so new to us. But where can we find those questions? I will send an email to everyone on this call and tell you how to find those questions right after this, as well as I'll send you that picture. If I can figure out how to download it onto this computer at work, don't worry. I'll figure it out.
My question was, what thoughts are people having about how to continue good communications and engagement with your volunteers as a group and enable them to provide support for each other and to try to prevent burnout? I'm starting to send out a weekly email update to everybody, but that's just, you know, an email. But I was thinking about starting Zoom calls for those who would be among the volunteers, for those who'd be interested in doing that. Not everybody will participate, but some will.
It's a good idea. You can do a virtual happy hour. Amy, you want to, oh no. Have other people done that? I think that's a really good idea to do something like that to connect your volunteers throughout this time. Someone said for Volunteer Month, have the board members call your volunteers to thank them for the service throughout the year. Marla's continuing to send appreciation cards. Their in-person celebrations are going to be postponed. And they're sending blasts to their volunteers every 7 to 10 days. Susan from Boston is sending out weekly emails with tips, and we'll start a Zoom call later in the week. We want to see those weekly emails with the tips, Susan. Everyone needs those tips, I'm sure. And then Margie Solomon, I'm not sure where you are calling in from, you're sending cards signed by the CEO. What agency are you with, Margie? Anyway, that's what they're doing. St. Paul. Okay. Well, we got a lot of good ideas. I really commend all of you. You know, it's yeoman's work doing this, even in the best of times. And, you know, we all have to stick together and continue to have these kinds of calls to learn from each other, support each other, get strength from each other, keep in touch with each other. And if you have any questions, Tali, they can, you know, send an email to all of us. We can respond, or you can post it in the private Facebook group. If you're not on that, you should join that, because it can be as active as you want it to be if you're on Facebook. Otherwise, we have a call about food pantries next Monday. I'm not sure exactly what time, but look at the website. 1 o'clock. Okay. Terrific. 1 o'clock Eastern. So I think that's it. Unless anyone has anything else to say. Okay. Well, thank you for participating. Goodbye, everyone. And you'll hear from me very shortly. See you.